This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tara Calico, then 19 years old, left her Valencia County, New Mexico home early on September the 20th, 1988, in order to go on her daily bike ride. She had been riding the same big stretch of New Mexico State Road 47 for years, and nothing nefarious had ever happened to her while on her daily rides. Tara joked with her mother as she left, telling her to come look for her if Tara didn't arrive home by noon. She had a tennis date with her boyfriend at 12:30, after all, and that was one she was not planning on missing. However, noon would come and go, and Tara Calico would never come home. Hello, friends. It's Dom, and welcome to this week's episode of Horror House. As always, please take this as your reminder that you are a truly stupendous human being. Your love and appreciation for what we do here never goes unnoticed. We never take for granted the support and the love that you give. And for that, you're amazing. We know that there are many podcasts that you can listen to, and we are glad that you take time out of your day to listen to us, and that makes you amazing, and that makes you a beautiful human being. So never forget that. As you've probably noticed, there is just one voice you've heard so far. Unfortunately, Amy is on the shelf with the flu. She is battling the flu. She's making a big deal out of it. It's really not that bad, you know. She lives for the drama, you know. So she's saying that she's on death's door. She's not, you know, she's just got a bit of the flu. But she won't be joining the recording this week, because, you know, she's resting up. So I said that I will take the reins and do a solo episode. It's my first solo episode for quite a while, I'm not going to lie. I don't normally do them. I normally avoid doing them. So hopefully you guys enjoy this episode as much as you would with me and Amy. I'll do my best to keep it engaging and entertaining. As for what we're going to be talking about this episode, it's going to be an unsolved case, which is probably a relief for Amy that she's not actually recording with me this week. She's probably glad that it's not both of us, because the only episode that I had outlined was this episode. Amy, if you're listening, I do apologize ahead of time. But it's an intriguing case. It's one that I had a sort of basic knowledge of going in. So hopefully you guys enjoy it, and hopefully, you know, maybe you can put your detective hat on and, you know, you can come up with some theories about what happened to Tara Calico. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this week's case. So at around 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday, September 20th, 1988, Tara Calico left her home for her regular bike ride down New Mexico State Road 47. It was a route she rode almost every morning, occasionally accompanied by her mother, Patty Dole, or Dwell? Dole, I think. Her mother, however, has stopped coming with Tara after an incident with a motorist who had driven aggressively close to her, making her nervous and less willing to go out and ride. She implored her daughter to start carrying Mace with her, however, Tara would laugh it off. As I said in the intro, she would jokingly tell her mum she better come find her if she wasn't home by noon, due to having plans to play tennis with the BF at 12:30. However, unfortunately, Tara would never make that tennis date, and she would never return home. Patty would drive Tara's customary route in search of her when she failed to return. Her mother would call the Valencia County Sheriff's Department and report Tara missing after she returned, and Tara was still not home. Later that day, officers found pieces of Tara's Walkman along with the cassette tape scattered along the side of the road, her mum believing she may have dropped them to mark her trail. Calico was seen by a number of individuals riding her bicycle, which has never been found. There weren't any witnesses to her presumed abduction, although a few people saw a light-coloured pickup truck, possibly a 1953 Ford, following her very closely, which, you know, is already suspicious. It's always suspicious when a vehicle is following you quite closely, you know, unless it's just a BMW driver, and for some reason they love to be right up your ass. But hey-ho. I won't go on a rant on BMW drivers. When there was no strong indication of foul play, detectives would start questioning John and Patty, who were the parents, about Tara's upbringing. They would ask questions such as, was their daughter happy? Did she ever discuss her travels? They speculated that Tara, as I said, then 19, had run away from home, a theory her family would strenuously deny, characterizing Tara as a happy, vivacious young woman. Her stepfather, John, would state, quote, there was just so much she wanted to fit into a day. She was like a little machine. It was amazing. John and Patty would wait some more. However, it was in vain, as no further evidence would materialize. Tara Calico had simply just vanished. Then, 9 months after Tara went missing on June 15th, 1989, a Polaroid photo of an unidentified young woman and a small boy was discovered in the parking lot of a convenience store in Port St. Joe, Florida, at roughly 1,500 miles, which is a hell of a lot of miles, away from the place where Tara had disappeared. Both the young woman and small boy had their arms bound behind their backs and were gagged with duct tape. The photo was found by a woman who said she had arrived at the store and found it in a spot where a white Toyota cargo van without windows had been. A man with a mustache who looked to be in his 30s. Oh, God. Oh, no, I'm in my 30s. I'm not going to say exactly what in my 30s, but I'm in my 30s and I've got a mustache. Oh, no. I'm not some weirdo who adopts teenagers. Don't worry. I'm just a weirdo who hosts a true crime podcast. So, as I say, a man with a mustache who looked to be in his 30s was driving the vehicle, the woman would say. Police would set up roadblocks to intercept the vehicle, but the man has never been identified. Following their consultation with the police, Polaroid executives stated that the photo could only have been taken after May 1989, with that specific film material not available prior to this date. The photograph would make national news and was broadcast on the show A Current Affair in July 1989. Friends who had watched the episode and believed the girl in the picture looked like Tara would get in touch with Patty after the episode would air. Detectives would meet with Tara's parents and the young boy's parents to look into the picture, and Patty would leave the office with the conviction that the young woman in the picture was indeed her daughter. She noted a scar on the unidentified woman's leg was identical to an injury Tara had sustained in a car accident Furthermore, a paperback volume of My Sweet Audrina, which was written by V.C. Andrews, Tara's favourite author, was lying next to the unidentified woman. Patty was convinced. A little older and without any makeup, Tara was looking. Tara, there you go. I don't function in the morning. It is morning when I'm recording this, and I don't do mornings. I'm going to start that again. Patty was convinced, a little older and without makeup, Tara, there you go, was looking back at her from the Polaroid. For me, I don't know if that is enough to go on. So I've seen the photo, obviously, and if you compare it to the photo that I posted on the Teaser Tuesday post on the Instagram, it's pretty similar, I would say. But, you know, Tara's mother will know what to look for. You know, she will know the telltale signs that it's the same, you know, person in the photo, that the person in the photo is her daughter. She's going to know specific marks she's going to need to look for. She's going to know if there's anything about Tara's interests or hobbies that may be in the photo that she can look for. So, you know, Patty knows her better than anyone. But it's quite similar. I will say that. It is quite similar. The investigators, however, weren't entirely certain. Tara was indeed the girl in the Polaroid picture. The Los Alamos National Laboratory experts weren't convinced it was her, and the FBI could not provide solid proof either way. But after looking at the picture, our own Scotland Yard in good old Britain determined that the girl was in fact Tara Calico. Cue frantic Union Jack flag waving. I was about to say like UK in the tune of how Americans always love to go USA, but I don't think it's going to work. UK, UK. All parties could agree on was how recent the photo was. The Polaroid could not have been taken any earlier than May of that year. As I said earlier, the stock it had been developed on hadn't been available before this. However, beyond this, authorities would have absolutely nothing else to go on. In the decades since Tara vanished, her case has remained cold. However, that doesn't mean that there hasn't been any developments to this unsolved mystery. And before we get to those developments, I think now is a good time to take a little break so you can hear from some other amazing shows, say some nice things about themselves, and shows that you should definitely be listening to. So I will see you back here in just a few moments.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Leo.
I love horror movies.
So do I.
I don't love that I have nobody to talk about them with.
It sucks. You see something great, you tell your friends to go see it, and they don't have the time because they have kids and a job.
They have a life.
Boring.
I know.
Imagine if there was a podcast where you could make your buddy watch a horror movie and under threat of death they had to, and then you got to talk about it, crack jokes, things like that.
That sounds wonderful.
What if we did it?
We could do it.
Under threat of death.
Yes, so much death, so much threat.
I love it. We could call it Spoils of Horror.
Great name.
And guess what?
What?
We've been doing it for 3 months.
What?
It's crazy. We're on all major podcasting platforms.
You can search Spoils of Horror on all social medias.
Come check us out, hang out with us, have a good time.
Join us.
If you dare.
Dun dun dun.
Dark Adaptation Podcast is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Brianna, and our producer Dyson joins me while working the knobs. Our show explores all things macabre and mysterious. We're talking dark history, true crime, haunted places, you name it. While we typically dive into lesser-known stories, we do cover well-known ones too. And for those more, let's say, popular cases, we deliver so much information you're guaranteed to learn something new. And Sometimes, we're even joined by our guest host, Steph, who brings a cosmic twist to the show. Our other guest host, Paige, joins us every other month to bring us into the world of cryptids and folklore. Tune in every Monday for a new episode full of intrigue and entertainment. Dark Adaptation Podcast is available wherever you stream your favorite podcasts, and next Monday, we'll catch you on the dark side.
Welcome back, everybody, to part two of this week's Unsolved episode. Hopefully, you guys are enjoying it so far. As I said, I can't remember the last time I recorded on my own. It's very strange. There's a reason why I don't record solo anymore. It's quite a weird experience, and I'm already overthinking that people aren't going to be enjoying this episode. But hopefully you are. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening, and hopefully you stick around to the end. But anyway, let's dive into part two, and let's talk about some subsequent developments in the case of Tara Calico. So Tara would be officially declared dead in 1998. Her death was deemed a homicide by a judge. 2008 would see a fresh development when Valencia County, New Mexico Sheriff Rene Rivera claimed to know what had happened to Tara and who had done it. He claimed to have learned that two teens had unintentionally hit Calico with a truck, freaked out, and then killed her. Rivera said that after the boys, who were acquainted with Calico, pulled up behind her in a truck, there was some sort of accident. Following Tara's death, the perpetrators would cover up the crime. However, Rivera did not name the two men, and without any remains to be found, obviously, an arrest could not and would not be made. This, understandably, didn't go down particularly well with Tara's stepfather. He said that since the sheriff was unable to apprehend the suspects, there was no need for him to make public his suspicions, and that compelling circumstantial evidence ought to be sufficient to secure a conviction. I understand that frustration. Like, if you're not going to make an arrest, What does it achieve to make public your suspicions and to make public that you know what happened when you can't really follow that up and arrest who you think did it? I can see why that rattled Tara's stepdad's cage. I don't think I'd be particularly pleased if I was in his situation either. There were also new photos that would come to light. The first, a blurry photo of a girl's face with tape over her mouth and light blue striped fabric behind her, similar to that on the pillow in the Toyota van photo, was discovered close to a construction site in Montecito, California. The image was captured on film that wasn't made available until June 1989. The second photo would show, quote, a woman loosely bound in gauze, her eyes covered with more gauze and large black framed glasses, with a male passenger beside her on an Amtrak train. The film used was not available until February 1990. A six-person task force of local and federal law enforcement officials was established in 2013. According to the Albuquerque Journal, to re-examine Tara's case. The group was disbanded a year later without a single arrest being made. That was a successful experiment from the task force there. On October the 1st, 2019, the FBI announced that they were, quote, offering a reward of up to $20,000 for precise details leading to the identification or location of Tara Lee Calico and information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for her disappearance, end quote. The New Mexico State Police and Valencia County Sheriff's Office released a statement in September 2021 stating that they had a new lead in the case and that a sealed warrant had been issued for an unidentified private residence in Valencia County. Unfortunately, however, no other information would be provided. However, in June of 2023, so pretty recent, the Valencia County Sheriff's Office would announce the biggest breakthrough in the case of Tara Calico so far. The Sheriff's Office announced a suspect in the Tara Calico case at a press conference on June the 13th, 2023. Sheriff Denise Vigil would say, quote, "At this time, law enforcement believes there is sufficient evidence to submit this investigation to the district attorney's office for review of potential charges. Currently, the identities and specifics of the persons of interest are sealed by the court and will remain so until a court order otherwise," end quote. And while Patty and Joel won't see their daughter again, the mother and stepfather of Tara may be the closest they've been to closure over 30 years after their daughter vanished on that fateful September morning. And that is the case of Tara Calico. A shorter episode this week, obviously, me being solo, it's going to be a shorter episode. A intriguing case as for what I think happened to Tara. The photo that was found in the parking lot that shows her tied up with another kid, with the young boy, that does have quite a striking resemblance to her. The photo of her on the train with the random guy, you know, tied up and stuff, that's a more difficult photo to look at and get anything from, because Tara's face is angled in a way that you can't really see. You can't see, you know, her face fully, so it's quite difficult to see a resemblance in that. But the original photo that was found in the parking lot of her in the van with the book beside her, that does look quite similar to, you know, to other photos of Tara that you might find. So as for what I think, there are many possibilities for this case. It's quite common, you know, when people disappear that they've been abducted and, you know, they're human trafficked, or they're sold into sexual slavery, or they're killed quite quickly after they've been abducted, or they're kept alive until they've, for lack of a better word, served their use, and then they're discarded. So it's a difficult one. I honestly can't say what I think happened to Tara, because I really don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if she was abducted and then kept alive for a period of time, and then during that time she might have been human trafficked, she might have been sold into sexual slavery, and then she, you know, was later killed. I'm not sure about the story that the sheriff said about her, you know, being hit by the truck and then the two boys killing her and you know, discarding the body. I'm not sure I buy that, because I don't know, just the fact that the sheriff put that out there and then no arrests could be made anyway. It seems like it was just sort of put out there, you know, for the sake of, you know, there's been no updates in this case, we need to put something out. At least that might be entirely bullshit. That might be so far from what was the truth. So I don't know. I think that there are quite a few outcomes that you could come to. So, but I would love to hear what you guys think. You know, so, you know, put in the Q&A on Spotify what you guys think happened to Tara Calico. I'll probably create a poll on Spotify as well. So please put your vote in there. DM us on Instagram saying what you think happened. Look into the case yourself as well. There are many articles that go into great detail. This is obviously sort of a cursory outline of the case, but there are, you know, articles and websites that you can go on that go into a lot of detail. So, you know, have a look for yourself. I'd love to hear what you guys think about this case. So yeah, that is this week's case. As I said, it's my first solo episode in quite a while, in a hot minute. I hope you guys enjoyed. I'm so used to having Amy with me now that doing solo episodes just feels a bit strange. I hope that you enjoyed. I hope you found the episode interesting. I hope you found the case interesting. I hope that, you know, you leave this episode and you know, you go and look into it yourself and you make up your own mind about what happened. There are many, many ways that you can support us at Horror House. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or the website. You can rate us on Spotify. You can pop a little message in the Q&A section of Spotify as well. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. This episode won't be going out onto the YouTube channel, but you can still subscribe to the YouTube channel and share it and, you know, watch the previous episodes that are on there and like and, you know, all of that good stuff. If you want to support us financially, you can do that as well by donating to the show. You guys know what the Buy Me a Coffee link is. I don't need to explain it. But if you want to donate to the show, then follow the Buy Me a Coffee link and get me and Amy some coffees. And of course, also follow the Instagram page at horrorhouse_pod. But for this week, that is me. That is it. Hopefully me and Amy will be recording back together again next week. Send her the good vibes and the well wishes. And until next time, all that's left to say from me is, as always, stay fucking spooky.